Hey y'all, this is the Iconocast podcast by Icon Meals.
Thank you everyone for attending today. Today, my guest is the UFC legend, the voice of the Octagon, a serial entrepreneur, I guess also a professional poker player, an all-around great guy, and have to say, one of the most iconic personalities that I've ever had the pleasure of getting to know and also do business with. So welcome to the podcast, Bruce.
Thanks very much, Todd. I really appreciate it. Pleasure to be on with you.
No, it's awesome.
My podcast, I can say pleasure to have you on.
No, it's truly, it's an honor to be able to speak with you today. And just, it was funny doing some of the, I'll call the background and just different things, learning a little bit more about you and outside of the things I knew your interesting personality. So I have to ask you, I know you've been in the ring for some time doing the announcement, but have you ever fought? Have you ever got in the ring, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I trained and sparred heavily and fought at the kickboxer from about 24 to 32. You know, I've got three black belts, two black belts in Tangsudo, which is a Korean, you know, sister or brother to Taekwondo. And I have a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu-Do, which I don't pretend to be a Jiu-Jitsu black belt. I just used to go in and train their black belts in striking. Yeah. And, after about 8 months of working with the students and all the French savant master who had this hybrid style awarded me a black belt, but that's just, it's on record, but I'm not a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Okay. That's awesome. I heard a story, I guess through the grapevine, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard about a little elevator brawl breaking out a long time back with Frank Trigg.
Yeah. A little fun go-to with Frank Trigg, you know, the UFC and Dana, they made a very cool video on UFC folklore, an animated video about it. And it's all true. What can I tell you? don't hit an announcer in the throat, especially from behind. No sucker punching an announcer, especially in front of my boss in an elevator. So
no, I heard you had a lot of great lessons too with the Gracies back in the day, rolling with them a few times. I've heard different stories. So
yeah, I rolled with Hoist back in 91 and he pinned me, got me down underneath my punches. We went at it in one of his rooms alone together. And he told me to come on and take his head off. And I went at him and he got me down and side choked me and told me to tap out and then stood up in the guard and said, see, isn't it nice not to get hit in the face? And I go, yeah, definitely got something going on there.
That's for awesome. Sure. I'm sure you have many more, but I wanted to ask you, so you're in such great shape. Okay? I've known you, I've met you before through Mike O'Hearn and stuff. And just, you're in great shape, right? Like you seem to be that sort of, like I said, iconic personality where I've always seen you in great shape. You have to be probably in great shape as well. The amount of travel you do, being in and out of the ring and doing all your different things. But how do you stay fit? Like, how have you stayed fit for all these years, right? What is, like, diet must play a big portion of that. And then also your training regimen. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I always believe that basically to stay in shape is 75% what you put in your body, what you ingest, and 25% how you work out. And I've always loved working out. I've been an athlete my whole life. You know, as a kid, all I did was surf and do martial arts and push-ups and maybe some curls. I never lifted weights till my mid to late 20s. And, developed a really strong, natural mass of muscle through swimming and water polo and all the sports that I did. And it just carried on for me. I always enjoyed being in shape. You know, I fluctuated, you know, anywhere from 200 to 220. Now I'm coming in at like 198. I'm staying there. And I just love, you know, feeling good and feeling eating right and being in shape. But the bottom line is I used to train to work out. Now I train to get older. Exactly. I mean, I used to train to compete. Now I train to get older.
Yeah. Lesson you learn from me, at least as you get older, it's also more about the longevity, right? Feeling good as you grow and just overall, but
no question. No question at all. Absolutely.
What would you say? What's your favorite food? If you had to pick anything in your eating, what would that favorite food for you be?
You know, there's a number of different things. I'm a real breakfast guy. I could eat breakfast three times a day, but I'm Italian. I love fine Italian food. I love Japanese food. I don't eat a lot of meat at all. If anything, I try to avoid meat, my own personal choice. I like bison meat when I have it.
Yep.
But mainly, you know, I just love good fish, vegetables, fruits, you know, like that.
That's awesome. So I want to talk a little bit about, for me, your big inspiration in regards to really learning more in the background, just in all your entrepreneurial ventures and stuff, right? You've got a lot of different businesses and like you're managing a lot. So you have like the It's Time podcast. I think you have like outside of the ring announcement and being that voice of the Octagon, you have your energy drink company. You have a spirits brand. You have a new cologne launching. On top of this as well, I'm learning that you manage all your brother's business as well, which is absolutely mind blowing to me. So how do you manage all that in your day, right? Like you have a lot going on. I know you have a very intelligent business mind, but it still takes a lot to drive all those multiple channels.
Well, yeah, that combined with the videos and the audios we do here, I'm very busy filming videos on Cameo, and people write into my site, brucebuffer.com, for championship introductions, videos for birth of babies, weddings. We get everything. Business requests, you know, which are, you know, can be very expensive, doing campaigns for them, whatever. So it's a real mix. But my partner, Kristen, and I, we have it down to a science. And when you talk about things like my bourbon, Puncher's Chance, here, you know, that, or my energy product line, which would be out in March, called, you know, It's Time. Mm-hmm. This is the most natural vitamin infused energy drink on the market. I don't care what anybody says, compare it to mine. And it's unbelievable. This is very big things happening with this. You know, I involve myself with companies and basically develop a license with them to use my image and my brand to promote. But at the same time, I'm involved in the creation of the products and the development of the products, because I want to have a hands-on, not just take a paycheck and let them use my picture through a two-day film session in a studio or something, you know? So I try to stay active. And when you do that, I side myself with the best people I can so that their business acumen and the people and their team and everything are the best that can be. And I got very lucky with my spirit partners, Umberto and Brad. They were behind Cabo Wabo, Sammy Hagar Tequila. They were behind Skinny Girl and Campari and all the marketing. So I have a great spirit partner. And the company I use in England for Its Time and my cologne and toiletry line coming out, very, very worldwide known, and a huge pipeline to plug into. So it's all good. So surround yourself with the best to be the best. It's all and good. The products have to be the best. Otherwise, I'm not a happy guy.
Yeah, it's your reputation. So where did the tagline come from? It's Time.
You know, I always woke up in the morning and I would always be saying, like, it's time to be the best I can be, you know, maybe slap my face after I shave or something like that. And then I was never phrase driven, because my brother, Michael, the legendary Let's Get Ready to Rumble announcer, you know, the greatest entertainment sports announcer of all time. And I say that with love, and I say that with respect, and I say that because I mean it. He was phrase driven, and everybody else gets in and they're phrase driven. I wasn't phrase driven. I didn't want to be Frank Sinatra Jr. I wanted to develop my own style. I wanted to, you know, create a style that people thought was unique just to me. Because if anybody could have copied anybody or, you know, rode the coattails, which is something I'd never have done, I keep him sewed on because I'm his manager, is me to my brother. Where other people copied him, I didn't want to. And about 6-8 years into the game, I used to say it's time to begin the Ultimate Fighting Championship at the top of the show. Dana asked me to calm that down, not do that. So when I got to the main event, I realized the fighters have been training for 6 to 8 weeks. The people have been sitting here for 5-6 hours watching. It's coming down to the main event. It's time. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. And it just came out like that. And I built it from that point forward, where my inflection and my passion for what I do and the way I move and everything when I say it, it just built to the point that it's at today. I can't sit down and be stationary in the center of the octagon and just working on my voice and holding the card. I got to move. You know, yeah. I moved as when I fought. I moved as when I work. I moved when I did I have to move. I got a tiger inside me.
So that ties in perfectly to my next two questions. So I've seen you in the ring for years and years and years. I guess there's a couple of key moves I see, right? You've talked about them before, but you have, I think, the buffer bow. And then Tell us a little bit more about the buffer 180 and then the buffer 360.
Well, the 180 started when I was announcing and I'm walking around the octagon and I was over near the red corner and I was saying, and now, you know, about to say fighting out of the blue corner. And I realized I was looking at the red corner. So I spun around and I still do have a really good spinning bottom fist or back fist or whatever. And I just went into that form and, you know, fighting, right? And when it happened, the audience reacted. I got back to my seat. I'm like, wow, that's something there. That was the birth of the 180. It was actually by accident. And then the 360 was an egg on from Joe Rogan, because I was doing 90 degree turns and 80 degree, you know, whatever the turns. And he's like, well, can you do a 360? And I was in a overcoat and a suit and we were in London and I jumped up and spun 360 and landed perfect landing. He tried to do it. He slipped and he's more than adept at landing a 360, I'm sure. And then he egged me on for about 8 months until at UFC 100, I went ahead before I introduced Brock Lesnar and I pulled off the 360 and everybody was very happy about that. I would have been the bitch of the internet on Monday if I didn't do that. They would have been talking about it in the forums because they were egging me on forever. So I had a little emphasis behind me.
That's awesome. So when was your first UFC event? How far back? Was it like right at the start or what was that?
Pretty much back. It was a fighter I managed into UFC 8 in Bayamon, Puerto Rico. I went to UFC 6 because I had my brother do it. But UFC 8 in Bayamon, Puerto Rico was my first UFC. I came out and I did the prelims. That was the first show that Don Fry. Oh, no, Don Fry. Was he at that one? No, that was UFC 10. But it was full of stuff. That was when, you know, the old days with Tank Abbott and all the fights.
I remember those guys, yeah.
Back when it was a spectacle before it became a legitimate sport.
That's crazy. So I guess you've introduced tons of fighters over the years. Who would be your favorite fighter or favorite fighters to announce?
There's many, you know. It's, put it this way, the longer the name, the more syllables, the more fun. If it's like Frank Trigg or Mike Swick, I get it out there, but it's single syllables. If it's like Khabib Nurmagomedov, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, let it go, let it fly, give it to me. You know, the pride of Ireland, the notorious Conor McGregor, you know, give me meat to work with. And any announcer is going to tell you they love that.
It's awesome. So I came across somewhere in one of your pieces that, to me, like I said, you're very motivational, inspiring, you just, your mind's going all the time. But I heard you say, there's no problems, there's only solutions in my life, right? And I think that resonated with me quite a bit. But everything I've seen from you, you come across as a person, just, you're full of passion, zest for life, sense of pride, you love what you do, right? How do you stay so motivated and inspired? Like, over the whole, that level of passion just precludes all the time. And it's been countless years. So obviously you love what you do, but what keeps you just going and pushing to and elevating that level?
You know, it's passion. It's just pure passion. It's enjoyment and love for what I do. And how do I say this? I just love what I do. And the moment I stop loving what I do, then I'm going to stop. The moment I have to go in and phone it in and not really enjoy what I'm doing, or to the travel that's involved and the separation from family and friends and all the sacrifices that we do make to do this, then it's time for me to stop, you know. But that's not going to happen. My passion.
And you've never missed, I think you've only missed one based on a year ago, right? But you've never missed any fights of the pay-per-views in years.
No, I never missed a fight. I've been a workhorse, you know,
crazy.
Cal Ripken record type holder, the whole bit. But I got COVID last year and I couldn't go to Abu Dhabi. Yeah. Not with a clear conscience.
What's your favorite city place, I guess, to announce in? Because you've been all around the world with UFC and others, but where's your favorite city to announce? Probably different places or?
Different places. You know, there's so, every city has their own flavor. I mean, Madison Square Garden in New York is the Mecca. It's incredible. O2 Arena in Montreal or in London are incredible. Every city has its own flair. Like the fans in Brazil, the fans in Canada are manic, you know, crazy, and Ireland's crazy, and it's just every city's got their own flavor. So I just appreciate everywhere for exactly what it is.
It's also interesting. I didn't know that it sounds like you're a big poker player. I read that you've absolutely crushed it in different things, and you've schooled many a folk playing poker. So that's in the earlier days of Bruce, is that, or do you still play today?
No, I play today, but I don't play live. I haven't played live except once on Poker After Dark back in April because of COVID. I'm going to play in March, 80 people consisting of some top pros like Phil Hellmuth and Tom Dwan and others, Maria Ho, each of us putting up $5,000 via $400,000 prize pool. I'm looking forward to that. It's right before the big UFC March 5th, so it should be a fun time.
That's awesome.
So hopefully financially rewarding too.
I'm sure. So that's great. But I want to be respectful of your time. So I guess question for you, like, everything that you have, you built this up, right? And I don't know how anyone ever replaces Bruce Buffer in the ring. So what do you want your legacy to be? When your time's up, you're saying, hey, I'm done. I've had my, it's not fun for me anymore. It's just time to move on. What do you want that legacy to be?
I always gave it my best. You know, I did it with passion and I always gave it my best. Please respect me. That's all.
Well, it's awesome, Bruce, because you're a legend in the ring and outside the ring, and very respectful of all the different businesses you built. Just grateful for being able to have the opportunity to work with you. But where can people find you? I know your website. What are the IG handles for the folks that aren't following you that should be?
I'm really big. Thank you. I appreciate your kind words. I really do, Todd. I'm mainly on Instagram. You know, Facebook I post, and Twitter. Instagram is Bruce Buffer UFC. Twitter's at Bruce Buffer. And Bruce Buffer, just go to brucebuffer.com to access all of that, or to my Instagram, Bruce Buffer UFC. And that's where I'll have everything out about the products coming out, you know, what's going on, different things happening. And again, if you want videos and such as that, just go to Cameo or just write me at brucebuffer.com. And my partner, Chris, and I will take care of any, your wish is my command, whatever the needs are. Keep it respectful.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Keep it respectful. No problem.
You probably got some interesting requests, but
definitely have some.
But definitely, I very much appreciate your time today, Bruce. Thanks for giving us a few minutes and just allowing our audience to get a little insight into the background of Bruce Buffer and the voice in the octagon. Definitely look forward to working with you. We're excited about that and the opportunity. So I appreciate you again today. Thank you very much for spending time, and God bless.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you, too. I really appreciate everything. And Icon Meals is great. Keep up the great work. I'm enjoying them very much, and we have some good work to do together. So let's get it done. Let's feed the world and nutritionalize the world the way it should be done.
Definitely look forward to it. Appreciate it, Brett.